We'll go ahead. We're going to get back on this thing of sanctification this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to finish this morning, I promise. I'm going to finish it. I've been on it for several weeks now, but we're going to finish it today. And we'll start on the next one, Lord willing, next Sunday of redemption. This thing of sanctification. And we talked about when a person trusts Christ as his Savior, God sanctifies that person. And I guess one of the reasons I've spent so much time on this one is because all these things took place when a person got saved. You go right on down the list, the new birth and spiritual circumcision and the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and justification, imputation, and all these things, adoption, took place when you got saved. These are things that God did for you when He saved you. And another thing that He did was sanctify you. But this is the one that I guess a lot of Christians have a hard time with. They understand that God did that for them, but man, I don't think they appreciate it, and they don't take advantage of what God did for them. That God saved them from out of this world system, from your flesh, from the devil, and He set you apart from those things. And so as a child of God, if you're saved and you go back to the world or you allow the flesh to do something in your life, that's something you're doing willingly. God gave you the power to overcome those things. And He gave you the strength to be able to do it. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4 was our text verse for going through here. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. And then you don't have to turn there, but we read in John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated Me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And as we get farther along and we get closer to the coming of Christ, we see these things. We see that the world does not like God or anything that represents God. And it's not just God. Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl a week ago, and afterwards he said, I'm going to go drink a bunch of Budweiser and thank the man upstairs. I think that is very, very disrespectful. That goes without being said. I don't like somebody referring to Him as the big man or the man upstairs. Amen. He is a holy, righteous God. Amen. But that's how the world views that thing. Drink a bunch of Budweiser and thank the man upstairs. I mean, but you know what? People think that He's a good Christian man. That's what they see Him as Christianity. The face of Christianity, they see Joel Osteen, and they see all these public figures, when what we need to be looking at is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You should not compare your Christianity to anything that I do. You should compare it to this Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we have good examples, and there's good examples in my life, and there's good examples sitting in this room this morning, but that's not the standard. Amen. I'm not the standard. This Bible is the standard. The Jesus Christ is the standard. And so we studied after a person gets saved, he has three natural enemies that are going to try to mess with him the rest of his Christian life. The world, the flesh, and the devil. But God has sanctified the Christian from all three of those things. He has set them apart from all three things. And we know the world's going to mess with you, man. This flesh, and the devil's going to mess with a person. All right, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And this is where we will pick it up this morning and try to finish through here. Let's see if I can get to this point on the slide here. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we're going to look at verse number 21. When you find your place, say amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 21. The Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, that means to set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So a person that has been saved, they've been sanctified, they've been set apart, but they're not just set apart from the world and set apart from the flesh and set apart from the devil just to do nothing. They were set aside for God, to do something for God. We were talking this morning in our men's prayer in the back that God has tremendously blessed our church in so many different ways. We could go on and on. And the reason is because not because we're not doing all the stuff that we shouldn't do, but we're doing the right things. There's people a lot of times, they say, man, I want to give up this or give up that, and I want to separate myself. I want to separate from the world, and I want to separate from drugs and smoking and drinking and all those things. I want to separate from those things. Well, you can separate from those, but if you don't fill that void with something else, you're going to want to go right back to it. There's got to be something that fills that void. So God separated us out of this world, and God sanctified us from this world system, and when we do that, we've got to fill it with something else. You know what we fill it with? We fill it with the Word of God. We fill it with fellowship one with another. We fill it with trying to tell others about Christ and praying and good Christian fellowship. We tell the kids and we preach that this world system is no good. We say the music of this world is not good. It's not good for a person. There's a spirit involved in those things. There's a draw in music. All music has a draw. Amen. I'm not talking about just the country draw in country music. All music has a pull. It does. And it brings you in. And you keep. I mean, you could be at a gas station pumping gas and something's on there. Next thing you know, you're tapping your toe and singing. Don't even realize what you're doing. It's got that pull. And so we tell them, but then if we don't give it something to replace it, they're going to go back to something. Amen? And so those young ladies that came and sang that day, man, they blessed my heart when they sang. And their CDs are back there, and I want to get some more CDs. And I gave Kaylee a big old stack of them, said, make copies of these. You know, here's some songs that magnify God. They don't magnify the flesh. I enjoy them, but they don't magnify and lift up the flesh. They're not worldly. They're biblical songs. And replace our music with the good stuff that magnifies God. But you're sanctified from this world, but you got to replace it with something. And when God saved you, He set you apart from the world, but we're separated for the Master's use. And I'm telling you that there's no other person I'd rather work for than God. Man, my Bible tells me that He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, that He has got, man, He created the heaven and the earth. My boss at my work didn't create the heaven and earth. He didn't create nothing but headache for me sometimes. Amen? Man, I'd much rather work for God and do something for Him. Talk about the benefit package. There's no company in the world that's got a greater benefit package than God. You say, well, I go to work every day. Yeah, but if you do it for Him, your company's going to pay you, and you're going to get company benefits, and you're going to get His benefits if you're doing it for His glory and His honor. You are set apart for God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So as we separate from the world, and we went over all this, and I could go on and on and on with illustration after illustration to talk about the pull the world has, the pull the flesh has, the pull the devil has. But as you separate yourself from those things, you've got to fill the void with something that's godly and for God. And I'm telling you, there's no greater thing than serving God. There is none at all. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 3. When you find your place, say amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. For this is the will of God. Say, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. This is one of those will of God, and I'll preach on it sometime. But there's things in the Bible that is God's will for you that you do not have to pray about. I mean, someone says, I want to know the will of God. And they open their Bible and this says, for this is the will of God. There's the will of God right there. You want to know what it is? Here it is. Even your sanctification. So we're supposed to be, sanctification means to set apart. are separate. So he tells you here, this is the will of God. This is your sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. That's your body. The vessel is your body. In sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So a saved person is set apart from God, and they're set apart from sin. God separates us from those things. It's the will of God that we be separate from those things. And again, this world has got a pull. It's got such a draw, even on Christians. Man, it's just a force that pulls you in. It makes you want to look at things you ought not to. It makes you want to do things you're not supposed to. And when you get done messing up, I don't know about you, but whenever I mess up, I feel horrible when I'm done. Horrible. I'm talking about even something small, faking something you're not supposed to. Seeing something that you're not supposed to, or whatever it might be. I'm telling you, the world's got the draw, but as a child of God, it ought to bother you when you mess up. It ought to bother you when you sin. It ought to bother you when you do something that you know that you shouldn't be doing. It ought to bother you, but then you need to turn back to God and get that thing right with Him and then get full of Him and go do something for Him. So there are three tenses of sanctification involving the believer. There's a past tense, a present tense, and a future tense. So I want to look at these for just a minute. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. There's three tenses of sanctification involving the believer. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. So this thing of sanctification, there's a process. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. First of all, our past tense of sanctification involved our salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11. You find your place? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. There was an instantaneous sanctification that took place the day that you got saved. An instantaneous sanctification. Look at the previous verses. Look at verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Whenever you got saved, we go back to the spiritual circumcision. You no longer are what the sin that you do. God separated you from those things. And there's some that might be in here this morning. Man, we all have a past, and there's things that before you got saved, you might say, that person was a liar. That person was a drunk. That person was an adulterer or whatever it might be. But after God saves you, you no longer are those things. He separated you from those. And that's why Paul said, and such were some of you. That's what you used to be. But now you're sanctified. Now God has set you apart from those things. And so when you got saved, there was an instantaneous sanctification that took place. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter number 10. All this, this sanctification of salvation, at salvation, was all made possible by what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. You cannot do anything in your own power to sanctify yourself. Before salvation, if you got involved in sin, that thing turned around and that thing got a hold of you, and you could not do anything to break that yourself. You couldn't do it. I don't care what it was. If it was something on the internet, if it was a bottle, if it was drugs or alcohol, I don't know. I don't care what it is. Before salvation, there's nothing you could do to separate yourself from that. You want an illustration? Look at half of Hollywood. They're always going to rehab. They're always going for drug rehab and alcohol and drunkenness and all these things. And it's just a cycle that repeats itself over and over and over again. And no matter what they try to do, no matter what therapy they get, no matter what they do, they cannot break that chain. You know, the only reason that you're sitting here this morning clothed and in your right mind is because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. That's the only way that we can have sanctification. You say, there's things I do in my life that I want to give up and quit. If you're saved, you can do that through the Lord Jesus Christ. He can help you do that. The thing is, you gotta want Him to help you. Sometimes there's things in our life that we say we want to quit, or we say we want to do differently, or we want to act differently in our life, and we say that we want to do that, but we really don't want to. Amen. Our flesh just enjoys it a little too much. And so that's where we got to get the right mindset to say, you know what, God, with Your help, I can do this, and I really want to. And if God sees that, He'll help you do it every single time. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 10 through 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 10. The Bible says, by the which will we are what? Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. There's nothing that you can do to take those things away. There's nothing you can do to take those desires away. Before you got saved, and man, there's people out there in this world that are lost, and they're trying to find something to fill a void that's in them. They're trying. They're trying as hard as they can to fill that void. Some of them think that a relationship will fill the void. That there's just an emptiness inside of them, and they gotta get that thing full, and they think maybe it's a relationship. And then they get in a relationship, and they find out that did not fill the void. And then they try to put alcohol or drugs or whatever, sports or whatever it might be, and they just, their whole life evolves around that thing. It might be work. There's people that bury themselves in work. That is their life. All they have to account for their whole life is work. You know, what is that, Brother Andrew? They're trying to fill a void that only Jesus Christ can fill. And then once He fills that void, man, everything, just life just will open up. You'll enjoy life once again. Why? Because He filled the void. Because love, peace, joy, and all those things that are the fruit of the Spirit that Christ is, fills the void that was once in your heart. Man, before I've seen people before they got saved, you would not want to be around them for 1 minute. They were angry, hateful people to be around. It was miserable being around them. I didn't want nothing. I didn't want to go near them. They just had a bad attitude all the time. But man, God saved them, and that person was totally different. Why? That void was full. Amen? And all that was made possible by what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. It's because of what Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary, and because of that instantaneous sanctification that took place at salvation, every person that is saved is a saint. Romans chapter number 1. In the Catholic religion, man, they have to go through some stuff to become a saint. They have to have had performed, if I got this right, they had to have had performed some documented miracle. They had to have been a Catholic, a priest, and go through some point, and they have had to have healed somebody or done something to reach that sainthood. every person that's saved is a saint. Amen? Romans chapter 1, verse 7. And I know it's hard to believe sometimes when you look around and see people. Amen? That every person is a saint. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be what? Saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. This is how Paul is addressing those that are saved, the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Says unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are what? Sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be what? Saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And I can go on and on and on. As Paul addressed all these churches, because of the sanctification, we're called to be saints. We're separated. We're called. We have a calling to be a saint of God. And we're supposed to tell the world about Him. We're supposed to live a life that's separated from the world, separated to God, that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's not this thing that, I say it sometimes, a dear old lady or older man that's just a dear old saint of God. They, portrayed their life in such a way that you say, man, that's a dear saint of God right there. But then there's other people I would want somebody to say that about me one day. Say, man, our pastor, he's just a dear saint of God. He just loves people. He loves God. He wants to see families fixed and homes fixed. And man, wouldn't you want that said about you? That's what we're called to be. We're called to be saints. If you're saved in here this morning. And it's not something that you have to go through so many steps and you've got to perform a miracle like the Catholic Church teaches in order to reach sainthood. If you're saved, you're called to be a saint. Now, whether or not you are acting saintly or become saintly, that's up to you. Amen? And there's some that aren't, that don't. Don't act that way. You see people in this world, they call themselves Christians, man, and there's nothing Christ-like about them at all. If anybody comes to church here and they want to act crazy, don't tell people that you go to our church. Tell them you go to North Highlands or something. Don't tell them you go to our church. If you're going to get out there cussing and acting a fool, amen, don't tell people you come to church here. Don't tell them that you're a Christian. Do God a favor and us a favor, amen? Because I don't want people to see our church and say, and compare that to this and say, well, they just let anything go there. Amen. There's some churches that don't mind you doing that. Use their church as saying that's where you go to. And then come back here and get right. Amen. So, we got the past tense. Alright, number two, we have the present tense. That involves our service to God. Look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17. This present tense involves our sanctification, involves our service to God. So at salvation, we were instantaneously sanctified. John chapter 17 and verse number 17. Look what the Bible says here. I can quote it. I just want to make sure I got it right here. John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We are sanctified day by day by studying God's Word and trying to take our life and make it match up with the Word of God. You said, every day I want to be set apart every day. Every day, Monday morning when I get up, I want to be set apart from the world, set apart from my flesh. I don't want to give in to my flesh. I want to be set apart every day to do a work for God. The only way to do that is to get in God's Word, find out what God's Word says, and then try to get your life to line up with it. And that's an everyday process. Go without reading your Bible for 2 or 3 days and see how you're thinking, see how you're doing, see how you're acting. Man, I'm telling you, if I get too busy or too lazy to read my Bible and I don't do it every day, I start getting a bad attitude. I do. My attitude changes. My demeanor changes. My thinking changes if I don't get this Bible in there and try to wash the inside and try to read it and get separated to God every single day. But we are sanctified by doing that every single day. Look at John chapter 15. Now, I say this, I hope it's true. I hope everybody, at least in the last 2, maybe 3 days, have taken a bath. Amen? It appears that everybody in here is clean this morning. We hope. But that's something you need to do at least every other day or something. Amen? I got to try to get one every day. But you get a bath or take a shower and you try to do that and get cleaned up to wash the filth off of your body. I don't know about y'all, but I can just do a little bit of work and I'm soaking wet and sweat. And I got the granny beads and all my shirts have got dirt stains in them. And, every Sunday when I get done preaching, I've got to take a shower that night because I get wet. I sweat when I'm preaching. And some of these preachers might understand it, but when you get up and you preach a full message, it's like working an 8-hour day. The drain on your body, you won't understand it unless you do it, but you put everything into it, it's work. And so, but you bathe yourself and you clean yourself off, the physical part, and you get dirty, you go out there and work and do those things, and you get cleaned up, and you get everything washed. Well, it's the same thing with the inside man. That thing's got to be washed every day. The thoughts that we think in our mind, the things that our body does, we've got spiritually, we've got to clean the inside too. And I'm telling you that, man, there's way too many so-called Christians that say they're saved and they don't ever read their Bible and they don't ever pray. Spiritually, they stink. Their attitude stinks. On the outside, they might be clean, they look nice, they got a haircut, but their attitude stinks. Their love towards others stink. They don't care about people dying, go to hell. They just don't care about any of those things. It all stinks. You understand what I'm saying? But man, you wash it with the Word of God. And God gives you that heart for others and want to see other people get saved and want to see your family in church and want to see those things. All that comes from the washing of the Word of God. Look at John chapter 15 and verse number 3. John chapter 15 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Now ye are clean through the what? The Word which I have spoken unto you." Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This Word of God will take you. It'll clean you up. It'll give you the right mindset. It'll give, man, if there's anything in this life that you say, "I want to do better. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better child. I want to be a better mother or a father." And you say those things and you set out to do it without the Word of God, you're going to fail. You'll fail every time. There's something I want to quit. There's something I want to start doing. I want to start doing this better. If you set out on your own, you'll fail and you'll give up and you'll quit and you won't do it right. But you do it with the Word of God, and I'm telling you, you watch God. Test God out. People say, "Well, I can't do that, or that won't work for me." I want one person to do it with all their heart and study God's Word and get in and read it and tell me that God failed you. God has never failed me one time. Amen. The times that I have failed has been because I didn't trust God, because I didn't allow His Word to wash me and to help me through those things. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20, verse number 26. Verse number 26. "That He might sanctify," that's our word, "and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? By the Word." You get up and you take a bath and you get cleaned up with your physical body. We have to have the same thing with the Word of God. There was a sanctification that took place when you got saved. Instantaneously, God saved you and He set you apart from those things. But then there's a present tense. There is a constant. There is a constant sanctification that we have to go through every day when it comes to our mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 1. And we've got to have those things inside of us, the Word of God, to help cleanse, to help wash us and keep us pure and right in the right mind. Any decision that I make, any big time decision, it needs to be every decision, but any big decision I make, I pray about it for at least 3 days and read God's Word and really ask God, what do you want, while I'm reading His Bible, and say, God, would you show me? You say, you mean that Bible's going to tell me whether or not I need to move my family to a different house or whether I need to take another job? It's worked for me every time. You say, where do I read? Just read. Just get in God's Word and read and pray, and God will give you the answer. He'll give you peace about it. And there's times He won't give you peace about it. There's been times where I've prayed, I've read, I've sought counsel, and I just did not have peace about it. And if I don't have peace about it, I don't want to do it. I don't want to move on it unless God just gives you that peace. All right, so there's a past tense of sanctification. There's a present tense. And thirdly, there is a future tense. There's a future tense. This involves our state in eternity. Look at Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. So the past tense, when God saved you, He sanctified you. He set you apart, man. He gave you victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now there's a present tense. That present tense is where we live today. That's where we're at right now. Every day, asking God to sanctify us, to cleanse us with His Word. And then there's a future tense of sanctification. That's when we'll get our glorified body. Amen. No more pain and sorrow and all those things that we deal with. We'll have a perfect, glorified body. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. I look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This point of sanctification in a person's life is the very last step of sanctification. You will finally, once and for all, get all victory over sin whenever we get to heaven and get that new body. Amen? We won't have to worry about it bothering us anymore. Amen? That as long as you live on this earth before we get that new body, you're always going to have to deal with sin. You say, you might not always be committing sin, but you're always going to be forced with having to choose to do right. And it's always going to be in front of you, and the option's always going to be there. And we're not perfect, and we're going to mess up, but one day we're going to get that glorified body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. The final stage of sanctification. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day we're going to get that glorified body and be in that final complete stage of sanctification. So just to kind of sum it up here at the end, we were saved from the penalty of sin. That's past. When God saved you, He dealt with your sin on the cross of Calvary. That's where that sin was dealt with. And He paid the ultimate price for our sin, and we accepted Him as the payment for our sin. There was a man that preached the other night. Brother Josh was with me. We went to a little preacher's meeting, and a man got up, and his whole message was God died on the cross, and He saved you from hell. No. He saved you from sin. For the wages of sin is death. Now, not going to hell is a byproduct of that. I thank God I'm not going to hell. And He did. When He saved me, I don't have to go to hell now. But God saved me from sin. Sin was the reason I was headed to hell. But God saved me from sin. And so, we were saved from the penalty of sin. No longer, after you get saved, and this is hard for some people to believe, but it's Bible. We've been going through here, and we can see eternal security all through here. But after you get saved, there's nothing you can do. There's no sin that you can commit so great that you'll die and go to hell after God saves you. It's not. It's impossible. Because of what God did. It has nothing to do with us. Because of what He did, there's nothing we can do to lose that salvation. So we were saved from the penalty of sin. Now let me ask you this. Is there repercussions for sin down here? Absolutely. So, we're saved from the penalty of sin, but number two, we are saved from the power of sin daily. That's present tense. God has saved us from that, and He's given us His Word to wash us, and He's given us His Holy Spirit to help us every single day of our life. Now, we can fall into sin, and we can mess up, and we can do things that, man, it's hard to believe that person was even saved. And I've heard Christians say before, man, you know, I don't know if he ever got saved because he did something so bad. God gave us the power over that everyday sin. Amen? You realize whenever you sin and mess up, you chose to do that. You didn't have to do it. Before you got saved, man, I'm telling you, there's people I've seen and heard stories, been down there in the prison and been preaching out on the streets. And there's people that have to have another drink. They have to have another smoke. They have to. If they don't, they get sick because that thing controls them. They have to have another shot of drugs. There's some people, man, they're so on them drugs that if they didn't take it every couple hours or they didn't take it once a day, they could not function unless they were on them things. Some of you might even know people like that. That thing's got a hold of them. But Jesus Christ, if you're saved, He gave you the power to overcome all that. What you did not have before. And then third of all, we will be saved from the presence of sin. Last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse number 10. And we'll finish up here, Lord willing, next week. We will pick up on redemption. Isn't this a wonderful thing that God did for us when He saved us? Man, there's so many people say, man, you know, I got saved. They have no clue what God did for them when He saved them. God did so much for us when He saved us. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, if you're there, say amen. The last verse we'll look at, it says, who delivered us from so great a death. All right, what tense is that? I know we probably don't have a lot of English majors. I was horrible at English. I probably didn't even use good English saying that. Amen. But that's past tense, if I'm not mistaken. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. What tense is that? That's happening right now. That's present tense. In whom and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. What tense is that? That's the future tense. The Lord has delivered us, He is delivering us, and He will deliver us. He did all that for you the very day, the very moment that you bowed your head and said, Lord, would You please come into my heart and save me? People say, I'll get saved and I'll start going to church when I get my life straightened out. You know, I got some things I need to get straightened out. I need to quit drinking. I need to quit doing this. I need to quit these drugs. I need to quit running around on my wife. There's just some things. I just got too much going on in my life and I need to get those things straightened out. Then I'll try to get in church and I'll get saved. None of those things can happen until you get saved. People tell me all the time, man, you don't realize how bad I am. No, it don't matter. Come to church. Get saved, man. Understand what God is. And then He'll fix all those other things. He'll work from the inside out. And He'll fix all those things in a person's life. Let's stand.